So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned in June, confusion over abortion laws, including in Illinois, has enabled misinformation to spread, especially on social media. Dr. Melissa Simon from Northwestern is tracking how this affects Chicago's Latino population. Dr. Simon explains why this group is so heavily targeted. It's Thursday, September 29th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. Why are Latinas being targeted? What do we know about this?
So beyond language and beyond fear of immigration or migration status, and beyond just preying on people who may have less resources or less access to accurate information, one other dimension of this is preying on religion or religiosity with respect to the majority or many Latinas and Latinos are Catholic, and preying on this religious angle is a part of this. It may not be all of it, but it is certainly a part of it. And what I have to say to that is the majority of Latinos actually support abortion access because of the concept of health autonomy, right? Allowing somebody to choose or make medical decisions for their own body, for their own person. And that is valued amongst pretty much every human on this planet, let alone Latinos. And if you look at the laws across countries, the majority of countries on earth actually support abortion access to some extent. And if you look specifically at Latin American countries, the majority of Latin American countries do not ban abortion. And so when you get to the United States, we have some states that are full on banning abortion, and it's confusing, and it's a cause for people who are bullies who prey on others. And so why not take advantage of some common misconception that because Latinos are religious, then why not just prey on them and say, okay, well, you're Catholic, you're going to sin if you even think about abortion. So that's where we're at with this. The other big piece of misinformation around abortion right now is the fear-mongering around if you reach out to access abortion care, then you could have some legal ramifications with respect to not only with getting into jail or being charged with a criminal act, but also for immigration. And this is a really important point for several communities, including Latinos, with respect to immigration.
When we look at other states that are pushing towards criminalizing abortion, there could be legal ramifications. You could be sued in places like Texas. So when we talk about Illinois and Chicago, do these claims not hold up?
These claims do not hold up at all in Illinois, the entire state of Illinois, obviously, including Chicago.
Facts.
And yet there are still fear around this topic. And it is spreading through social media platforms, especially. And what's concerning, for example, a platform like WhatsApp, which many Latinos, many people around the entire planet use for a variety of communication reasons, WhatsApp is not edited in other languages. It's not edited especially in Spanish. So if there is a fact that is not true, an alternative fact, if I may, then it can spread like wildfire across a network, regardless of state or country boundaries.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of this misinformation is in Spanish. Why does that make things particularly challenging?
It's particularly challenging because A, no one's editing it in Spanish. So platforms like Facebook, for example, or even YouTube will take down some videos in English or posts in English if they're just completely egregiously wrong with respect to health. They're starting to do that now, and I appreciate that. But at scale, that's not happening. And it's certainly not happening in Spanish or other languages, which is really concerning because Spanish is a very, very commonly spoken language, not only in our city of Chicago and Illinois, but across the country. And it's just overall really concerning.
Dr. Simon, what are some examples of the misinformation and disinformation targeting Latinas? And what are you hearing from patients?
Yeah. So some examples are when people post egregiously wrong stories about how unsafe abortion is. Abortion is super safe. It's safer than taking your appendix out, which is a very common procedure. Abortion procedure actually is safer than a cesarean section, which about one third of people who give birth in this country, in the United States, one third get a cesarean section. And an abortion is actually safer than a cesarean section.
I've never seen any of these things put into a meme. Any of the two things you just said, I've never seen those widely shared.
So it's important to know the facts. It's important to reach out to people like healthcare providers to actually get accurate information.
When you talk to patients who are coming in to maybe get the information cleared up, how are they coming to you? Are they frightened? Are they completely worried that, you know, they could be charged or something's going to happen? Like, how does that misinformation translate into fear amongst the people you talk to every day?
Well, the misinformation translates directly into fear. And what that hinders is access. You know, there's many dimensions of access to care. We talk about access to care a lot. And it's more than just having insurance. Getting to the clinic in and of itself can be fearful, especially if you have had a history, either yourself or your family or friends or loved ones have had a history of being discriminated against in the healthcare system. And that adds to fear and hesitation to want to reach out for healthcare. So that in and of itself is a huge barrier to overcome. Trust in healthcare is already severed in many ways because of history and because of current information and current interactions, especially as we emerge from the pandemic of COVID. So all of these layers of challenges and disinformation or BS, like you called it, just add up. And it makes it really hard to then even call for an appointment or even come into a clinic or even come into the emergency department. And I've seen that in multiple spaces, the emergency department, in a clinic, in the hospital. People fear even just asking a question about abortion right now.
Have you met with people who have just like straight up told you like, I resisted an abortion. I didn't go to my appointment. I never even called because of something I saw on the internet.
Yes.
We've got more from Dr. Simon, but a quick reminder. Tonight, we're having our very first happy hour at Midwest Coast Brewing near Fulton and Walnut. It starts at 6 and drinks are on us. Hopefully, we'll see you there. We'll be right back.
obviously from Illinois to just the states around Illinois, Michigan and Indiana, right? That state abortion laws change, right, very quickly when you can cross a border. How does that confusion over state abortion laws post Dobbs decision factor into this? Are people even confused on what's on the books for Illinois?
Exactly. I mean, it is, people are confused because the law varies across states. I mean, people are confused about other laws that vary across states, let alone abortion laws.
Big facts.
Right. So, you know, this inconsistency of rules and policies and laws and practices and on one side of a border and not on the other side of a border, mm-hmm. between states or even between, you know, hospitals. Hospitals could have different restrictions because of religious affiliations. So it becomes really confusing. I mean, it's hard for someone who is highly trained like myself in medicine to get some of these rules right. I mean, one great example of my own journey is navigating different insurance plans and trying to figure out what's covered and not what's not covered, right? And I have a lot of education to try to figure out how to do that. And that's hard. So let alone trying to figure that out versus abortion care laws. I mean, it's rough out there.
I mean, how can we combat this misinformation being pushed out right now? What are the sites we can view? Who are the people, particularly Spanish language speaking, translating people, services, organizations that we can share, that we can promote to give people the most accurate information possible?
So, there are many places online that you can go to try to find accurate information. It starts with Planned Parenthood being one great example. With respect to Latinas in general, in the United States, I would say two big organizations come to mind. One is National Latina Institute for Reproductive Justice. So there's a few around the country that are really trying to advance accurate information and access to accurate information, specifically in English and Spanish, and especially amongst Latinas in this country. That would be some of the first few. Also, I would say, really go to your local healthcare provider, but understand that some healthcare providers are influenced by the system in which they work. So another complicating story to this is that a lot of Latinas and just women in general get care in this country from religiously affiliated healthcare systems, especially if you're covered by public aid or public insurance. And so it's important to understand that if you are seeking care in a religiously affiliated or like a Catholic hospital system, then it is important to try to access an appointment with a system or a provider in a system that is not religiously affiliated.
Dr. Melissa Simon is the director for the Center for Health Equity Transformation at Northwestern. Dr. Simon, thank you for joining us on CityCast Chicago.
Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun, Jacoby. Thanks.
Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. The Chicago Board of Ed voted 4-3 to purchase land on the near south side in hopes of building a somewhat controversial $120 million high school in the area. Subscribe to our daily newsletter, where we've got a great write-up today on saving the mud puppies in Chicago and some of the best glamping sites in the area. You heard me correctly, glamping. I'm probably not sleeping on the dirt, y'all. I'm going to just be real. Sign up for the newsy at chicago.citycast.fm. And some good news to get you through. Lincoln Park Zoo Fall Fest returns tomorrow. You can enjoy a harvest maze, carnival rides, and some professional pumpkin carving. It runs all month long. As always, we appreciate you for listening. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
And the world don't move.